there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. On the show with me today, we have Jed Grant, founder and architect of Peer Mountain. For those who don't know, Peer Mountain goes beyond providing users with ownership and control over their cryptographically secure identities. It is an end-to-end application ecosystem that facilitates secure commerce and exchange of digital and physical services. So, let's find out more from Jed himself. So, on today's show, we have Jed Grant, founder and architect of Peer Mountain. Jed, how's it going?
Great. Glad to be here, Charles.
Thank you for coming on the show. And where are you in the world at the minute, Jed?
I am outside of a small town called Castillon-la-Bataille in the Bordeaux region.
Wow.
Sitting in a chateau.
Are you on holiday, Jed? Is that what you're doing? You're kicking back in France, or is there a
No, we were very seriously discussing the future of crypto over the past 48 hours at this chateau event, and nobody got much sleep. It was basically crypto and eating and enjoying some of the wine and having a great time.
I wonder if they have any wine left after you guys were there.
Oh yeah, the trunk is full.
Good man. So Jed, I mean, like, we've known each other for a little while now, right? We've got a bit of a crazy story. So we first met on a call, I don't know, how long would you say that was? 8 months ago, maybe a year?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
And then when did we see each other after that? Was it in Lithuania?
I think that's when we first met face to face. Yeah, at the Crypto Capital World conference in Lithuania. That was an interesting conference.
To say the least, I remember you came up to me and you're like, "Hey, I'm Jed." And I was like, "Who?" And then I began talking. I was like, "Oh man, I remember who you are." And then since then, the next time I saw you was over here at London at one of our events, and then we just kind of kept in contact, right, on Telegram. And
absolutely fantastic event in London, by the way. That was a great evening. That was awesome.
You know what, Jed? You asked some really good questions, dude. And we're about to put a video out, and obviously your name's in it, man. But you asked some really, really good questions. I like the fact you stood up and you quizzed all the panelists on their view on regulation, which I know is one of your strong points.
Indeed.
Great stuff. So listen, let's get down to business. So you're currently founder and architect of Peer Mountain, and I know prior to that you've done a few other things. So would you be so kind to give us like a 30-second kind of background to yourself? I know you've done lots of different things, and just bring everyone up to speed.
Yeah, I've been into cryptography or cipher since a long, long time. I worked for a while as a civilian officer at NATO, where I ran an IT section there. And then I've been looking at, since like 2004, at how to deal with the problem of walled gardens when I realized that Facebook is the user and we are all the used. And so I was trying to figure out how to do that and been working on that on the side. And in the meantime, in 2008, I created a company that specialized in financial intelligence. 2014, KYC3, another company that does KYC AML. Going strong. We have good products for ICOs. That market is just booming for us on that side. You know, it's not a token company. It's a KYC company. And then Peer Mountain came about as the desire to build this over all those years and the opportunity that I got with a Swiss financial institution that got behind the idea and said they wanted to see it. So that's sort of where I've come from. And Peer Mountain is kind of the culmination of many years of thought and effort to get something where we are self-sovereign and we're not controlled by a corporation.
And can you explain to me how that works a little bit?
So sure.
How do I own my own data? I understand the technical aspect, but like, give me kind of a breakdown in everyday life, how that would look with Peer Mountain.
So typically you have a self-sovereign wallet. It's in an SDK. So it's going to be in a bunch of branded apps that you'll be using, and the same SDK is used across them, and you'll own all of your data in that. And there are three roles in Peer Mountain. And basically what we're doing is we're doing to information and contracts what Bitcoin did to money. We're doing exactly that. So you own all of your data, all of the documents and identities. You know, you can have your Civic in there, you can have your Estonian EID, all this kind of stuff can be aggregated into this personal self-sovereign data store that you manage, and it's all encrypted by your keys. And then you can share that with the service provider, which is the second peer in the peer-to-peer ecosystem that is Pure Mountain. And the service provider will say, you want something from me, for example, you want to rent a car. Well, to do that, we need to know a couple things. We need to know that you have a valid driver's license. We need to know what country you're resident of. We need to see the car that you're going to take, you know, the condition of it before you drive away in it. So this is what can be done with Pure Mountain. All that can be automated. The third role in the peer-to-peer ecosystem is a trust provider. These are vouchers, basically. They say, you know, when I say I'm Jed and I have blue eyes, a voucher can say, well, Jed has blue eyes. We confirm that fact. And so that's how you establish trust, and we monetize that in this ecosystem. So the more trustworthy the vouchers are, the more they're going to earn. Service providers obviously pay to get business. So renting a car, you walk up to the car you want, you'll scan a code or you know, in the app, you pick the car from the slot, and then you would just swipe in the facts that you need to share with the car. These can be zero knowledge proofs as well with like Avis. You would give them, here's my valid driver's license or proof that I have a valid driver's license. You know, here's my country of residence, take a selfie, take a video around the car. They give me the key as an NFC key in my phone. I get in the car and drive away. When I'm driving away, I could have another code on the dashboard that I could scan and I could get insurance from AXA, for example, and have a, you know, insurance on that car for the week that I rented it. And all this can be done frictionlessly. It's pretty cool.
No, absolutely. So with you guys, obviously one of the big things for Pure Mountain is, you know, working on as many big apps, as you mentioned, big partnerships as possible. Is there anything that you could speak on that have been announced thus far of you guys?
Unfortunately, the names are under NDA, so I can't release them in a public forum like this. I can share them with potential buyers, contributors, under NDA, obviously. But we have a Swiss company that we've been co-building with since 2016. We took the project out of stealth in October 10, 2017 at the Lendit conference. And a German company as well, payment processing company that's regulated, has also signed a term sheet. They're interested in the tech. Both of those have made payments in respect to their agreements as well. And then we've been approached by a number of other companies. A large German auto manufacturer has approached us recently and said, hey, Pure Mountain looks like what we need. And one of the largest online brokers in the U.S. just approached us like 2 weeks ago. And they're going to pitch it to their CEO at the end of the month. And if he approves the budget, we'll have a partnership with them. It's pretty awesome.
So there's a lot going on, man. You guys have been busy in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have been working lots of different partnerships, it seems. So how have you found the market at the minute, kind of in relation to your ICO? Because I know you guys, you've closed off the private sale. Is that correct?
We're still in private sale at the moment. Right. We signed up with Token Market about 2 months ago. And are working closely with them. We're in the private sale now. We've passed the soft cap, but I can tell you the market is very, very difficult. A lot of people are on the sidelines. A lot of the syndicates that normally invest very aggressively haven't done any deals in over a month or even 2 months. So things are tough at the moment, but we're making good progress. We did pass the soft cap about 10 days ago, and things are going well. So we'll schedule the public sale and all this later on. We want to continue the private sale for a bit. And then when Token Market feels we're ready, I follow their guidance. We'll schedule the public sale and announce it.
Perfect. So, Jed, at the minute, I know as well as your impressive CV, your resume, your career, your story, your journey, I know you're also a thought leader and you do a lot of thought leadership. So what is your view? And I know this subject is really, you're really up to speed with regulation at the minute. What do we need for us to get to the next stage? Do we see the institutions come in? What do you think needs to change regulation wise? What do we need to see? Where's this going to be going?
It's an interesting time right now. The regulators are finally beginning to wrap their heads around crypto. And I think some of them are coming to good conclusions. Liechtenstein, I was just there about 2 weeks ago, and I met with, had a presentation from the Ministry of Finance. They showed their new law. Unfortunately, they were supposed to vote this law last week or this week, and they didn't do it. So they're going to put it off till the fall, which kind of delays everything by at least 2 to 3 months. But they had a law that actually enacts three different kinds of tokens: an asset token, a utility token, and a cryptocurrency token. So they were, you know, payment token. So they were ready to enact this and really be aggressive, but then the government backed down at the last minute. And I also think there are a lot of things in the regulatory space where, like, the CFTC and the SEC are fighting over who's going to regulate crypto, you know, commodity or security kind of thing. I personally believe that a lot of crypto cannot be regulated. The international nature of things like Bitcoin and Ether, you can't regulate that because it's in every country at once. It's everywhere, and you can't sort of slap national laws on it. You can kind of do it, but it's not going to work well because you're just going to push people to another jurisdiction if you start to regulate badly in one. So the regulators are going to have to wake up to this fact. And I actually think we need a new type of regulatory agency or a new type of regulator that deals with digital bearer assets, which is what crypto really is. It's not a security. It's not a utility. It's not one of these things that you can classify in an existing peg. It's a new asset class, and we need to deal with it that way. And we should actually have a regulator who's savvy to this and understands it, understands issues like key management, custodial keys, that kind of thing, cybersecurity. These are critical. And even like education, children should be taught now to learn how to manage their own keys and to understand what being self-sovereign and it means, being owning your own assets and not relying on third parties.
Yeah, that's a really key point you've just brought up there. So where, like, so I understand, you know the European laws very well, but you also have been hanging out in some pretty tropical places as well, talking to some pretty high up individuals. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I was invited by the Prime Minister to come to the Bahamas for their BBC 18. It was an amazing thing. It was a surreal conference. I mean, because there were all these Bahamians there who were like retirees who just wanted to learn what is a blockchain. And then there were all these crypto people there. It was like 50-50. And it was pretty bizarre. And then I met with the Minister of State and talked to him about his agenda. He had intended to announce a new legislative framework for crypto. They want to turn Freeport, which is actually a tax-free zone on Grand Bahama Island, they want to turn Freeport into sort of the crypto island, crypto paradise in the Caribbean. And they actually are trying to get people to physically move there, but I can tell you the infrastructure needs some work. I mean, the hurricanes have done some damage. They need better connectivity than I was getting there if they really want to do that. But where they have a huge advantage is this framework that he was going to announce. He's asked me to give him feedback and best practices. I actually owe him a couple papers. And then they will finalize this, and they're going to use their jurisdictional advantage. So they're going to try to make the Bahamas a very crypto-friendly jurisdiction. On another note, while I was there, I met some guys who had just bought a private bank that was owned by a Swiss bank, and they bought the branch of it in the Bahamas. And they're in the process of working with the government to convert this bank into a very crypto-friendly bank. So things are definitely happening on the private side as well in the Bahamas. It's pretty interesting. There's actually a lot going on in the Caribbean.
It's amazing. You wouldn't really think about that, right? Because it's not really a tech center and really hasn't been. But obviously, it's a financial epicenter with offshore funds. So it's interesting that they're trying to get into the tech scene and they're trying to get some of that capital back into the Bahamas. So it's interesting to see that. So, Jed, I know you travel a lot, right? So what's your kind of feel with different places? So I know you live in Luxembourg, is that right?
I do.
Right. So what's kind of your difference between kind of the community vibe in Luxembourg, let's say, to someone like the Bahamas or the United States? Have you kind of picked up on the different vibes, the different levels of understanding?
Yeah, indeed. Luxembourg wants to be a fast follower. That's sort of how they pitch themselves. And they are supporting, you know, the fintech space and the crypto space to some extent, but they're not moving as fast as they should be, in my opinion, because there's a lot of opportunity that's walking by Luxembourg that's happening elsewhere. Liechtenstein seems to be moving faster. Switzerland is kind of is good, and the crypto valley, of course, is sort of the epicenter, but it's also losing the edge that they had as other jurisdictions, more nimble, smaller jurisdictions, actually get their ducks in a row and start doing things right. So, you know, the Bahamas was quite eye-opening to see how aggressive they are. If you look at what Malta's been doing, they've been very, very aggressive. Malta has some amazing potential there. As long as they keep it clean, you know, and keep the bad actors out, they'll be benefiting greatly from this. And I've seen, you know, some surprises, like France. I met with the AMF in France last December, and they released a report in February. If you look at that report, I'm footnote number 3, the guy who's not French who works in Luxembourg and Switzerland. They are very interested in crypto and ICOs in particular, the French regulator. They support them greatly. The only problem is France is the tax office hasn't gotten in line. And this is an area where there's a lot of work to be done in how crypto is dealt with in a tax sense. I have some interesting ideas on that as well.
Perfect. Listen, Jed, we're running kind of out of time here, but is there anything you'd like to announce exclusively while we have you on the show today?
We are, as I said, Pyramid Mountain is moving forward. We passed the soft cap. That's kind of the announcement of the day. I mean, that was a major moment for us. And the private sales opened. So if anyone is interested in that, they should definitely contact me directly and beware of scammers. I've seen some amazing stuff. There are a lot of very iffy actors. I'm sure you've seen them too, Charles. And I can't wait for the shakeout and the cleanup of the space where we can actually get things going on a productive curve towards using this tech globally.
Absolutely. And Jed, how do people contact you? How do people become part of the Peer Mountain community? What's the best way for them to do so?
The best way is to go to peermountain.com, sign up for our email list, join our Telegram group. The links are all there. Check out our blog. We're pretty transparent on everything we do. And anyone who wants to contact me directly regarding the private sale, it's privatesale@peermountain.com.
Perfect. Well, listen, you heard it there from Jed himself. And I know Jed is also very active on Telegram. So if you really want to clog up his day, message him directly with lots of interesting questions and lots of brain teasers to make
questions.
Sure he keeps busy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Charles.
Great. Good stuff, Jed. Have a great day. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
You too. Take care. Thanks. Ciao. See you soon.
Well, you heard it there from the man himself, Jed Gron. Big thanks to you, Jed, for coming on the show today. I know you're super busy with Peer Mountain and all the exciting updates that are happening there. Yeah, I just want to say a big thanks to you, the listener, for tuning in. Really appreciate your time and attention. Remember, as always, to comment and like if you enjoyed this podcast. And remember, as well, to subscribe to our YouTube channel because we're putting more and more kick-ass content there as well, which is SVK Space Crypto. You'll find it pretty easily. If you haven't already, remember to join our Telegram. That's where it goes down, SVK Space Crowd. And also hit us up on Twitter. If you follow us, we'll follow you back. Let's go, which is at SVK _ crypto. If you're really on your game, you can email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. Or you can hit me up on Telegram. And by the way, my Telegram is off the hook. It's at Charles. I'm the only one. I'm the only at Charles in the world. So hit me up on Telegram. Let's go. Have a great day. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.